Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. It is the fourth Sunday in the Advent season. We draw closer and closer to the celebration of Jesus' birth. And we look, as we have been this season, look to the angels, looking to the words the angels speak to all those who were involved in Jesus' birth. But we begin with an affirmation of our faith from 1 Timothy in the second chapter. God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, this has now been witnessed to at the proper time. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the second chapter, verse 4 through 15. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We continue to look to the angels this season here at Daleville Christian Church. We know that the word angel means messenger, and the angels bring what God has spoken, brings that message to the people involved. But maybe look at it another way. I'm going to ask you to remember your high school English and high school literature classes. We usually had to read at least one Shakespeare play. I know why now, some of the best English language, writing, and history. But as we were forced to read Shakespeare, the teacher day after day tries to get us to understand what's really going on in the Shakespeare play. Yes, Romeo and Juliet are in love, but come to find out their families have a long feud, or a feud of long standing, and Romeo and Juliet are young. There's a clergyman involved in the play. You may remember that. He's really a key player in the play, but has a very small part. So the teacher's trying to get us, the class, to see the layers of meaning in what is happening in the play. The play is more than about two kids who think they are in love. Now, guess what? The angels are like our English teachers. There's more going on in the first chapters of Matthew and Luke than a woman having a baby or two old people finally having a baby. And the angels are telling us what's really going on. God is involved. Everything that's going on, God planned it, and God is finally making things happen that God promised long ago. This is not just a baby boy, and these aren't just baby boy cousins, John and Jesus. God has a lot of explaining to do because the people involved aren't all that crazy about God's way of doing things. Joseph signed on to marry young Mary, but Joseph didn't sign on to be a stepfather. Joseph's people aren't supposed to marry loose women. So the angels have to explain to Joseph that God wants Joseph to marry Mary and adopt the baby. The angels are explaining what's really going on. But here's the kicker. The words are from God himself. Angels don't bring messages secondhand. They repeat what God said. Now, having explained all that, I have a very good friend from high school who hated having to try and understand Shakespeare. He would say, it's a story about two teenagers in love and it ends badly and that's all it's about. Might not surprise you if I tell you that my friend still doesn't read much. So it's good for us to focus on the angel's words, to know what God is really trying to get done. And the best part is that God is trying to get things done for us. This whole plan God has is for our benefit. As I mentioned before, God doesn't do things willy-nilly. God does things with people, for people. God didn't give Noah an ark. Noah had to build it. God didn't make a prince be born to a king. We had to declare that Jesus is our king. King Jesus wasn't born in a palace. Jesus wasn't even born at home. Jesus was a transient, and Jesus would quickly become a refugee in Egypt. Yes, God did not choose the easy way to get things done because lots of people are not okay with whatever God has planned. So having looked at explanations of John's birth and Jesus' birth and Joseph's marriage, we turn to not one angel, but a host of angels. The heavenly host, the Bible has said in English for 500 years. Luke chapter 2, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Do see the sermon notes on the number of times that our God is spoken of as the God of hosts or Lord of hosts. And there are several other Bible verses that are better understood as having a military foundation, because the word host is usually used with regard to an army. As a matter of fact, the word host is the word for army in some places in the Bible. But I confess to you something you should already know about me. I'm fascinated with this idea of an angel army. Why am I, your pastor, fascinated by the idea of an angel army? Because since I was a child, I've been fascinated with the military, starting with the American Civil War. Then I grew up during the Cold War, and there were toys of missiles, jet aircraft, atomic weapons. Imagine entire pages of the Sears Christmas catalog covered with potential gifts of toy firearms, rifles, pistols, all in the period of the Wild West, but turn the page of the Sears Christmas catalog and you can find toy machine guns, bazookas, hand grenades, even toy mortars. All the while, the scale models that are available are of every ship and armored vehicle of World War II. Now, my daughter doesn't want her children playing with toy guns. I understand. But you can't claim that it did me any harm. And as a child, what was there for me to do except toy weapons to defeat the Nazis, the dictators, and the communists, or defeat the slaveholders? And that's how I would play outdoors with my friends. Then when I finally read the entire Old Testament, more fascination, and in the last 15 years I have preached on our God as a strong tower, The tower was a defensive structure on a walled city to defend against the enemy's army. Even the word fortress appears between 20 and 60 times in the Old Testament. Our God is a fortress. Do we not sing, "A mighty fortress is our God," written by the great reformer Martin Luther? And I read in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, of a man coming to Joshua, but as the reader discovers, this is an angel with a sword. And the angel said, "As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. It's an angel army that this angel is a commander of. So I can apologize for my fascination, and I can apologize for feeling that I need to share this fascination with you. But the question is, as Luke tells us, of a host of angels, was Luke and Luke's churches just as interested in the heavenly host as I am? And is there something to be learned through Luke's insistence that a whole host of angels showed up that night so long ago, and they were proclaiming or chanting or singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests"? The angel army. That's what I see here. This angel army declares God's glory, and they announce God's own claim about this birth, "On earth peace with the people." God declares peace with the transgressors, peace with the sinners. Our God can be called friend of sinners because of Jesus. The Heavenly Father has sent the Messiah to come alongside of us to lead us back to the Heavenly Father. Now, although Luke does tell us that this is a host of angels, Luke does not especially point out that this army is carrying weapons. What seems most important to Luke is the size of the army that have now made themselves appear to the shepherds. These shepherds, who Luke tells us have already been frightened enough, the shepherds feared a great fear, it says, in the Greek language in which Luke wrote. Now, I've been disappointed by film versions of this scene that Luke described. Before computer-generated images, film directors didn't even try to show an angel army praising God and declaring the good news of God. Because of Jesus, God will not hold our sins against us. God will make peace with us now. There will be no punishment for all the bad stuff we've done, and God will continue to work to keep the peace with us. Luke has already spoken of the Holy Spirit at work to get to this scene in chapter 2 of Luke. Later, Luke will show the Holy Spirit helping us to keep the peace with God. Now, since God had already done all the hard lifting to get Jesus born in Bethlehem, adopted by Joseph, who married Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. Now that God's done all the heavy lifting, what do we have to do? We are asked to accept it. The angel announced, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." God doesn't need saving, we do. And God's steps described in Luke's gospel have been moving in the direction of saving us, beginning with letting the shepherds know. "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." My Savior and your Savior, if you will have him, Jesus, let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world. Pastor David Jeremiah states, this was a sky show such as the world had never seen. And nothing could have been more unexpected. This was a spontaneous outpouring of joy. This was a moment of heartfelt worship that began in heaven and broke through into our world. In this moment, shepherds, not princes, and not the king, are told of the birth of a king of David's line. Shepherds, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not the synagogue sponsors, not the Essenes out on the Dead Sea. None of them get the news of God's own handiwork on their behalf. I suppose that if the Pharisees had been told that a Savior had been born, the Pharisees might have responded that they didn't need a Savior. And that certainly would have been the wrong thing to say. But the shepherds respond the right way. And this might be the answer as to why an angel army has to announce the news. We need to consider the audience that received that news, the shepherds. We modern Christians think that the shepherds, since they were told the good news first, we think shepherds are number one. America's favorite title. We're number one. We even make big foam fingers to help announce that we were number one at ball games. But the shepherds weren't the first people you would want to tell the good news to. In everyone else's eyes, 2,000 years ago, the shepherds would be the last people you would want to tell earth-shattering news to. But Jesus would later say, the last would be first, didn't he? To get an idea about the shepherds, I want to tell you about a middle-aged woman who dropped by my office once, years ago, who was asking for help from the church. She really wanted cash, not help. But she saw a little display on my table, a display of ancient coins, and she quickly picked them up and asked, are these valuable? And I said, no, they aren't even real coins. I had the feeling that if I'd said yes, that the coins were valuable, that she would have found a way to get them out of my office and into her purse. My suspicions about that woman were how upstanding citizens of Bethlehem saw the shepherds. The shepherds didn't belong to any service clubs or bowling teams or volleyball teams or softball teams. The storekeepers kept their eyes on the shepherds when they came in the store. The shepherds didn't attend synagogue. They might never have been to Jerusalem for festivals or Passover. No one could be sure the shepherds even prayed. What do we call these people? Lowlifes? Undesirables? Heathens? Godless? Or just suspicious? It may be if just one angel showed up with the good news, they might have written it off as alcohol-induced or a dream, or an alcohol-induced dream. Is that why our God had to send an army of angels? Wouldn't it be harder to explain away a heavenly host? None of the shepherds had ever been so drunk as to see an angel army. So our God is going to get these shepherds' attention and see if the good news doesn't ring a little more true as good news to you. To you is born this day a Savior. You are getting a Savior today. You shepherds might have been on God's naughty list, but you won't be anymore. The Messiah has come. Jesus, one of your own people, Jesus of Judea, a Jew who will save his people from their sins. Friends, I don't know where you often place yourself in spiritual scoring which you shouldn't be doing. But this angel news from God says your score doesn't matter. Your spiritual score doesn't matter. Even if you have a low point average with God, God is destroying the scoreboard. God is tearing up your stat sheet. The last shall be first. And apparently, this angel army manual of arms was very impressive, even to these shepherd lowlifes. Luke 2:15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Won't you, this season, maybe for the first time, will you see this good news is to you? This good news is for you. You too, you also have a Savior. His birth we celebrate at Christmas. Amen.